win 9 out of 10 climbing races at $10,000. 9 times out of 10, if you embrace this horse, you're already looking at losing with one of your horses. Plus, he's disadvantaged by drawing the ring. And at Sanity, that wouldn't bother me. At Del Mar, it probably won't bother me. But at Hollywood Park, if you don't let it bother you, it's what I said before, you're just courting disaster. Now, who wants Endpoint to be one of the contenders? Okay. Now, I'm influencing the group now, okay? This is why we're here. Okay, I'm trying to, the reason we're doing this is for me to handicap. I'm trying to do it with the group. Endplay would not be a consideration for me. I'm willing to, if the race collapses, and it could collapse, if this race collapses, Endplay just might come running along and win the race. It won't bother me a bit. I'll just go to the next race. And I think you have to take that attitude. But the reasoning behind this is that, and that's the reason we put these bars up here. The reasoning behind that is that this is a slow horse. As Bradshaw would say, it's a slow horse. And he is a slow horse. And so it just won't bother me if he wins. And he should pay a big price if he does win. Now, just as on your horses to watch list, there's a horse called Pyramiding that ran the other day from the inside and ran as a gamer race from the inside, as you've seen all week long. And he just barely got beat by Roland Natural. And if you want to add Pyramiding to your horses to watch list, especially if he steps up to like 16 in his x-rays, he ran as game as you can see. I mean, he just ran his eyes out. Give him a big plus on your horses to watch list. Endplay, I'm going to eliminate him now. And nobody seemed to have any big problems with that. Let's go to Hasty Holiday. Well, he can still screw it up more.
I threw out his last race for a variety of reasons, but considerably longer he was focused this morning than a two-level tire.
Okay. Let's do this as a group, though. I agree with you. I would throw out his last race, too. We're not picking baselines yet, but I would throw out his last race. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Hasty Holiday is, we're making contenders. Is Hasty Holiday a contender in this race?
Yes.
Look at the second race back. He goes in 117-1, right? The par for $10,000 is 117-3. So even if the track was a couple of lengths fast that day, he still matched his par. So Hasty Holiday's got to be considered here. Now we may eliminate him at some other point in time, but we're going to use him as a contender in the race for sure. How about Forcefully? Forcefully? I think he's in a proven horse.
He's got two wins and 31 starts.
Okay, all right. Let me say something about that.
It seems to be a two-turn horse.
Okay, but let's talk about this for a minute. The first of all, according to the charts, he's never had a chance to run at $10,000. So the 231 is kind of out the window. Plus, 10 years ago, as recently as 5 years ago, that was a major consideration when you got a horse that's 231. Major consideration. Not today. Not, ever since they started running all year long, that is just kind of, I mean, you just can't bank on a horse that's 1 for 18 not winning anymore. It's just the nature of the game. But I'll tell you where you get just look at one thing right now before, because what you're doing is separating the field. We want to know whether to make this horse a contender or not. What was his last race running?
117-3.
He ran 117-3, right? Is 117-3 good enough to win a $10,000?
Yeah.
You bet your bottom dollar. The fact that this horse is dropping is a positive on this horse, not a negative. Because he couldn't run at a higher level. So in this kind of a horse, you want to drop in class. If this horse was running very well at 12, 5, and 16, you don't want to see him at 10. So this is a positive statement on this horse. They're trying to get him somewhere where he can win. And it doesn't hurt that he just worked out in 34-4 the other day. I mean, if you get a bullet work at Hollywood Park, it's a big work yet. And he gets pink eye, yeah. That's why. And Marcus Murphy's a good trainer. But let's take him and say that Forcefully is a contender in this race, because he can match par. Yes.
My problem with it is that it's short enough that it's not like the bad.
Okay. You're gonna be the death of me, Claudia. Didn't we just say that this race sets up for a sustained? Okay, if he's 5 lengths back in second call, that shouldn't be a problem if all the runners are stopping him. Should not be. So let's go with that. I'm not trying to stifle you because the,
That's okay, that was 110, that was 110-1, that gives you 111-1.
Let's go to Ed's fantasy, folks. This is the leading trainer on the grounds, Craig Lewis. What do you think about this horse?
I was there for a bit.
Okay, he belongs at about this level, because if you look down in these bottom races, he belongs at about this level. But he laid off 14 months from April of 86 to June of 87, was dropped 32-12.5 and ran dismally with Ben Cotton. Now he's laid off another year. And folks, and he hasn't worked in the last 13 days. When you see a horse coming up off of a layoff, you want to see a 5-day work pattern right up until the race. This is not a healthy horse. And if this one beats me, I just accept it. I mean, but you can't be betting this kind of horse. And he's got Aaron Greider, who's one of the leading riders out there. But all that does is attract money, so you have to do it. Does anybody have a problem with my eliminating Ed's fantasy?
No.
Okay, nobody does. And please, as you see, if some of these horses upset us again, don't let it change the thought process, which is what we're trying to establish. Lovaroo. Lovaroo's claimed on May 8th for 12.5. He stepped up to 16, 21 days later. Doesn't run very well. Now he drops back down under the claiming price to about the level he belongs. He belongs at 10. He really does belong at 10. He's a presser. We've already said that Ann Justice could be a little trouble in this race. I think you have to make Lovaroo a contender in here. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have to bet him necessarily, but you got to make him a contender because the race may sell perfectly. Plus, these people are probably going to try to get their money out of it.
If he's on
40,
the horse that should challenge
Ann Justice in the half minute. Yeah, let's think about that for a minute. What does he get to the half minute, folks, when you're running? Okay, he goes 45-3, 45-1. Over at Santa Anita, he gets there slower than that. What would you say is a reasonable fraction for him? Second call, forget the first one. 45-2, 45-3, somewhere in that ballpark. What did we just say? 45-2?
Yeah.
All right. He's a presser. He could probably think of the half at 45-2. And guess where that puts him, folks? It does. It puts him in the garden spot. If he runs his race, he'll be in the garden spot with some horses stopping. What about Leeward Pirate now? What do you want to do with this horse? I'm going to throw this horse out. This is going to be just kind of an arbitrary statement. This is, if the horse cannot compete for 10 in Stockton, I don't want any part of it. And again, don't let the exception bother you. If this horse wakes up and runs a big race, wins the race, something like that, don't let that stop you from doing it. If the horse can't compete at Fresno or Stockton at that level, they don't belong at all at Hollywood Park. If they can't compete at Stockton or Fresno, they really don't belong at Golden Gate, let alone Hollywood. So please get rid of Leeward Pirate. Dick, would you put our contenders across now on the board here?
I said we shall.
So that we can start putting some numbers on them in a minute. We're going to pick baselines also in a second. But We've got Hasty Holiday. In fact, everybody, if you've got some scratch paper, because what we're going to do is put them on a board, ask you to transcribe them onto scratch paper or on your computer. But right now, just write your contenders down on a piece of scratch paper. We have Hasty Holiday. We have Forceful. We have Love a Rude. We have Injustice. Now, I guess we never did, we never reasoned through this as to whether we're going to hold. Did we make Road of Luck a contender in this race?
No.
Yes. Well, we're going to go ahead and do it. Okay. Road of Luck first. We have two of them, we kind of left. All we did was decide whether or not we were going to press the pace or not. I guess I moved it beyond ahead before we should have. Is Road of Luck a contender in this race?
No.
Probably not. But for me, he's not. Okay, and you're going to listen to me here. He's not a contender for me. He draws the good outside. He apparently is dropping in class. But again, he's a six-year-old with six lifetime starts. He's going to have a horrible problem. And I'll add one last thing that you're probably not going to, that if the doc isn't listening, I hope he's not, is that this barn does not win with Dave Pack. And just flat don't do it. They win, like yesterday, they used Lafitte Kincai as number one name. They did it again yesterday with Perry Stitches or something like that. Is that right? And they used McCarron also, but they do not win with Dave Pappas. Now, hey, I don't care if you never listen to that again, but what I'm trying to do, you're handicapping with me today, so I'm telling you that they don't win with Dave Pappas. And if they win this one, it just means they won 1 in 50 with it. So I'll accept that one also. So I'm going to eliminate Road of Luck. Now, we got to go to Flying Lessons and deal with him. This is a top trainer. This, believe it or not, is also his top rider.
Yes.
That's right. He uses Pincai occasionally because Pincai has just recently asked to ride some of his horses for him. And he's been riding some. But this is his top rider. I got to tell you, I'm up in the air on this horse here. So I'm going to be like. Who's this? Well, I'm not going to bet. I probably will bet. I'm asking. Put a gag on it. Please. Let me get this. You're way ahead, Claudia. You're way ahead on some of this stuff. We don't want to get to that yet. How many of you want to use Flying Lessons as a contender in this race? Okay, about four or five of you. How many of you, there's probably a lot of you undecided, so how many of you say no? Okay, for those of you that want to use it as a contender, listen up. Claudia, take the gag off now. For those of you that want to use Flying Lessons as a contender, you want to use it as a contender. What pace line would you select for?
Which year?
This is really just a hypothetical question because there is almost none you can use.
That's right. So,
if you want to get out, and if you use the one from Los Alamitos, that's a race he was running for $40,000.
July 4th, 2015.
See, the problem with choosing a horse like that, if you want to hold him as a contender, you're just not going to be able to put him in your computer because if you use one of those races, he wasn't in. But he can't be the horse he was there. So he would be back in 10. If he were being brought back, I have a tendency, I'll play against him. And the reason I'll play against him is that if he had any life in him, he'd try him at least once at 20 or 25. At least one time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about trainer in 10. Like, it seems, with Leeward Pirate, the better or worse, the race in stock is like a workout. To see if he can survive over track. It seems like that's the same type of thing that they're doing. Except it's such a cheap price, what is this particular?
Well, it's a major amount of money's gonna be lost here. Probably feels, I just recall, I think he was bowed before he ever went out of training. I'm reasonably certain he was bowed when he was good. So chances are, everybody at the racetrack knows that, so they're probably gonna away with running in pretend to start with. You can't find a pace line on it, because if you do, you're using a race at 32 or 40 or some other outlandish level. So if you wanna hold him aside and say, I could make one of my bets in this race on that horse, be my guest. But he won't be any good in your computer.
Tom, yes, maybe an alternate suggestion. Either run the computer with the four horses, or if you want a fifth horse, since we're looking at so much early, why not run in play through as a strong sustained possibility? As the fifth horse, not necessarily for a win, but just to look at in the computer.
All right.
Because it's got two of the last three races, shows some closing.
It does, but against very slow numbers.
Yeah.
I could add, who wants to come back and add in play to get a fifth horse?
If you want a fifth horse, I'm saying.
I don't care. But who wants a fifth horse in a computer and wants to reinsert in play? I know how it's gonna come out. It's gonna come out fine, because it's so small. But that's all right. It's a good point. So now we have four contenders in the race with Dick also set. There's some support for Flying Lessons. Just kind of put him here. We won't put him in the computer. Okay. Let's get. Yes.
Tell me why you eliminated Love or Rule again.
I did not.
Well, then why didn't you? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's this is our flower child. Everything is love for him.
He's love too.
I got to tell you what we've also wound up doing. Let's first of all use Ann Justice's last race as his baseline. Okay. That is the 22-45 one we were looking at, so that's the right line to use. Well, by eliminating Rotor Block and Flying Lessons, though, the minute you do that, as far as your computer is concerned, this will look a little distorted. In other words, Ann Justice will look like he'll dominate this race. And you can't now forget that you said Flying Lessons and Rotor Block can be a real thorn in his side. Please don't forget that, because otherwise, Ann Justice looks like a winner on your computer.
Well, again, along those lines, here we go. Make sure you keep the factors of the race in mind. So that you don't get nothing more in the short run.
Well, I'm not sure what you meant.
Just an argument for keeping
nothing wrong.
Probably is to cloud up and just
yes.
Number five.
Well, what I'm also willing to do. Let me tell you, I'd rather put Norton Luck in than in play two, because he's got a possibility of being up in that first flight. And these races are raw blood in the first flight. Now, like Forcefully, we made a little case for Forcefully. Somebody said, well, that's always going to be five lengths back. They're absolutely right. And five lengths back wins very few races in here in sprints. So of those two horses, Loveroo is the dominant possibility.
Yeah, you know.
But Forcefully, if the race collapses, Forcefully could come running and get it. So we don't even mention. Let me tell you something else here, though. Let us do this. Also put Road in here. Now what we're going to do is if we said Road can be a 22-1, and we said that Flying Lessons can be a 22, I wouldn't bother to do this. I'm not really sure whether we should or not. But what we're going to do is put in the first fraction on these two horses just to keep ourselves reminded that when we look at this matrix later, that we have matching numbers for these two horses in Ann Justice. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that in a moment.
May I ask if there might be another reason for including Rotor Luck? I mean, I know we're doing it, but we're going through the thought process, right? Let's ask the question that Ann Justice has had 11 straight races without a layoff. And maybe if he's more than going to decline something, he's not going to fire something. If we're betting the top two horses, right? what if Rota Block and Ann Justice come forces, and if Ann Justice doesn't fire Rota Block, is that not right?
Well, yeah, but we have so many negatives against Rota Block. Okay, we must have made half a dozen negatives against Rota Block. But let me spend just a moment with that Ford thing, talking about Ann Justice having 11 straight races and without being laid off. Ann Justice has only got 13 races in a year and a half. Plus, his last two races, it's the best form he's been in that 11 race cycle. I'm not sure he's ready to tail off on that. He's just not a very good horse, but I'm not sure. Now, that's the problem, not the 11 races.
That's what I mean, it indicates to me maybe that the trainer feels that good form is his form.
Has nothing to do with the 11 races. Has nothing to do with it. That's not that many races. I mean, he's got 13 in a year and a half period. It's the fact that he's not a very good horse. He's still in form, but he's going to be challenged here. That's probably why he's not stepping up. It has nothing to do with the 11 races. Because in the 11 races, nine of those races, except for one race in the middle of that sequence, nine of those races didn't take much out of him. He was through by the time he hit the stretch. Yeah.
This is kind of a rubber. How far in advance did the trainer know that a given race is coming up? How far in advance does it look for the trainer?
Well, it's a two-week. It's a two-week book, condition book. It covers all the races for 2 weeks.
And then, how far in advance do they know who they're going to be running for? You know?
Oh, that's 48 hours.
48 hours.
48 hours. It's 48 hour interval.
Yeah. So whenever they enter a horse, they really don't know who they're going to be running.
That's why you see so many scratches overnight. It's just can't get off the program in the morning very easily.
So I adjust. The trainer had no idea who he'd be up against, so, but he's leaving him in, so.
Now, Flying Lessons, we'll add a little bit to that. Flying Lessons was scratched out very similar to this the other day. They can't be too high on those two horses on the outside here. But they are limited by the outside draw, they have a little speed, and wouldn't stun me. In a $10,000 race, you can't let anything stun you. But nevertheless, there's some logic to be followed here. Lovaroo, let's take a pace line for him. Let's, first, before we get too flexible with this horse, let's deal with these last race. What, give me some comments on your thoughts about his last race.
He got beat pretty good. He had two horses to watch fairly often.
The workout was only at half miles.
Well, he might have been up in class, but the fractions that he recorded were slower than anything he had done recently.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I would have a tendency to go beyond that race. Partly because of the $16,000 class. Although that's not that big a jump from 12.5 to 16, folks. Partly because of that. Partly because that was his first start for his new trainer. What was my other point? I had another point to make. Even though he was beaten 10 length, he still beat half that field. He had four in front of him and four behind him. So it wasn't a disgrace. It just wasn't a great race. Now, if you want to go beyond that race, what race would you like to take as a group as a space line?
6.5.
You got 2 6.5 furlong races on May 8th and April 28th. Which one do you want to grab?
May 8th. I'd use the May 8th because he's got a 118.1. That's reality. The 116.4 early out on the meet, I don't think there's a reality for that.
Good point. That's the best point that I've heard in the last 5 minutes. If you use the third race back on this horse, guess what you've just done? He's run no race in his history, in his past performance chart, to match that race. March 3rd? No. Look at the French engine that race. 22, 4, 46, and 1. But again, against those fractions, you could almost run against those.
Tom, another point, no, just in discussion, I would tend not to go back to that 8 and 8 race. I would stay with his last race, because the 118-1, I think, is a reflection of this horse's ability to close, which is really not that great.
Yeah, but he's a presser, he's not really a closer, but I, the problem with using his last race, if you made him a contender, did you make him a contender?
Well, certainly.
Okay, then his last race eliminates him as a contender.
But the point is, the 118-1 might also eliminate him.
Yeah, we're gonna sneak a big invariance here. See how fast or slow that track was that day. Okay. We're gonna fudge just a little on that. His last race, if who wants Lovaroo as a contender? Who wants to use his last race? Okay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with using the last race on these horses. I mean, but if you use his, did you want him as a contender?
No.
Okay. So if you're going to use the last race, you're going to limit it.
That's why he's using the last race.
We're going to go with the group on this, though. We're going to use the May 8th race on this horse. I got to tell you one thing about it, though. I don't like his last race either. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve? I don't like his last race either. No, I'm not saying that. What we're doing is, together. I would have been finished with this race an hour and a half ago. But nevertheless, I haven't quite made up my mind.
Would you have used Lovaroo an hour and a half ago as a contender?
I would have started with him as a contender just because of his running style. See, when you wind up with a race that sets up perfectly for a horse, you can kind of get a little bit flexible on some of these lines. The reason for that is that, you know, the horse is being boosted by the way the race might set up. And in the case of Lovaroo, he's probably going to be boosted quite a bit here by a potential pace. Okay. So you can get a little bit flexible on that, but I'm kind of up in the air on that particular race myself. So we'll just deal with it. Well, we haven't separated. We haven't decided to bet yet. Let's just stay with it for the moment, because all but one or two people want to use him as a contender and use the second race back when we do that. Forcefully. That's actually his best race, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you've got to be aware that that was run on a 9-8 variant from the racing form. We'll check, we'll fudge on that one and look at it, too. Okay, so the last race on Forcefully. What about Hasty Holiday? Okay, now, Claudia, the point you jumped to earlier is that you can't eliminate his last race, I think. I mean, they were flying early, 44-4, 109-2 in that one turn mile. And he just wasn't, he wasn't up to that.
Tom, if you run the inside fractions or the second race back, he comes out just about the same.
Okay, but I want the second race back because the inside, at that one turn mile, that is the most slippery of all of the internal fractions you can use. Yeah. They are just difficult. They really range all over the board. Yeah. And it's not very reliable. I'd rather use a second race back as an indicator.
How much is he going to be hurt by that
post? Horrible. He's not only going to be hurt by the post, he's going to be hurt by three horses that have speed outside. But let's use the second race back. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to plunge a little bit. And I'm going to sign, I'm going to look up the, I do my variance two ways, and I'm just going to look up and see how fast or slow the track was on a given day in terms of length. The 28th at 7 furlongs, that track I make a zero. That's really a good race. That's a good race, the jumping diamond. So that, I make a zero variant for that race. Now your variance, if you look them up, you'll find an adjustment. The variance you're looking up are being adjusted to Santa Anita. I'm just looking, this one just says what it was and how they were fun. Okay, so don't go looking at that because it will matter. That's so that you can have interchangeability. Forcefully's last race on June 12th. This is the one I'm most interested in because it's a variant of 9 one day. And I got to tell you, I made that track a zero.
That's a good race.
It is a very good race now. Okay, the horse race is very good. But that